Good morning, Remembrance Sunday. Can the blind lead the blind is the question which hangs over this morning's talk. And I want to just get ourselves into exploring this by giving two illustrations. The first one is something that I was involved in. It's Saturday the 2nd of November 1991. I'm helping out at a bonfire party at that church you can see on the right. That was St. Matthias Burley in Leeds, where I became a Christian. And now we're talking 9 months later. I became a Christian in the January. It's about 9 months later. And the church leadership asked the young 20-somethings, because this was a church with students in it, the young 20-somethings, would you like to light the fireworks? Now, of course, as a graduate chemist doing research, I knew everything about fireworks safety. No. No. In fact, as a 22-year-old, I'd never let off fireworks in my life before, and anyone who knows me knows I'm not a practical man. Evening started well. I remember the soil was damp. We just gently pushed the fireworks into the ground, lit them. Church family gathered at safely at a distance and oohed and aahed in the appropriate places. All was well until the firework that I lit toppled over and shot straight through the children and families. No, that tall firework had not been properly anchored in the ground. All I can say is, by the mercy of God, no one was hurt. But let's just say that was the sort of end to the firework evening, because nobody had much appetite for it afterwards. I have to say the church was very gracious to me. There wasn't a big inquisition into what had gone wrong. It was pretty obvious, and I did what I do. I just went around apologizing. I felt mortified. And but for the grace of God, gosh, it could have been hideous. But you know, no one had asked me if I knew what to do, and I stupidly hadn't thought to ask for advice. The blind, that's me, was leading the blind, those who put their faith, blind faith, in me. And it could have been horrific. Needless to say, chemist I might be, but I have never ever been keen on lighting fireworks since. Now, in preparing this talk, Aaron, thank you, Aaron, introduced me to a TikTok video. And it was one of these moments where, after I'd seen this TikTok video, the thing that went through my head is, well, that's unbelievable. That fits really, really well with Remembrance Sunday. Bear with it, because you might see the video and think, has he gone off his rocker, the vicar? But there is a look. Take a look at this TikTok video. Well, it's posted on TikTok. It wasn't done as a TikTok, needless to say. It was posted on TikTok, but it isn't a specially done one. It's more what happens. And what I need to tell you is, no one was hurt in the making of this video. If you are squeamish, then it's not too bad. Is the sound up, Richard? Now, when you first see that video, it looks like the old man just missteers. But look again. Sat on the old man's lap, and bearing in mind there was a bit of dialogue that appeared at the bottom, sat on the old man's lap, I reckon, is the granddaughter. Granddaughter has got her hands on the steering wheel of the motorized wheelchair. Just watch this again. I love the way the pug just comes along and stares sort of blankly as they file off. Now, actually, this is even closer to the reading. Because the blind, that's the incapable, that's the young girl, is leading the blind, the old man on the scooter. And Jesus did say that you'd fall into a pit. This wasn't so much a pit as a lake or reservoir. But yes, I believe they were okay. Can the blind lead the blind? I think we know the answer. But as with most of Jesus' teaching, the context is really important. Because this is right at the end of Luke 6. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, I suggest you have a look. Because there's a lot going on which happens long before you get to this. A massive crowd of people has gathered. We're told in verse 17 of Luke 6, a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon have gathered. And boy, have they had an exciting day. Verses 18 to 19 tell us that the people came to Jesus to hear him, to be healed of their diseases. Look at what the scripture says. It's amazing. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Wow. That must have been someday. Someday. Can you imagine how excited the crowd were, the buzz there must have been? But Jesus was desperately keen that he didn't just attract those who were experience seekers. He wanted those present to learn how to live as those who know God and love God. And the teaching in chapter 6 is fairly heavy. Firstly, verses 20 to 23, Jesus speaks of blessings of faithfulness. But then very quickly in verses 24 to 26, he speaks of woes for living out of kilter or balance with God. Then, in verses 27 to 36, Jesus speaks of loving our enemies. That in itself would be a good message for Remembrance Sunday, but I'm going to plow on because he says more. In verse 37, he talks about not judging others. Gosh, we live in a world where people are so quick to make judgments, aren't they? So quick. Then in verse 38, he speaks about how if we forgive, we will be forgiven. And there's a reciprocal nature to his teaching, which Jesus sums up by saying in relation to making judgments, in relation to being forgiving, in relation to being generous, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is heavy now. This is heavy now. They've had all the healing stuff and the amazing stuff. Heavy teaching. And you can imagine that the crowd's mood is more contemplative now. They aren't easy words. They pose each of us today a great challenge. It's only then that we get can the blind lead the blind. That's why context is important. Now, Jesus loved visual phrases in his teaching. And so what I'm going to do now is we're going to have a quick test of your knowledge of Jesus' visual phrases. In that I'm going to give you the start of a very famous phrase that Jesus says and see if you can fill it in. You will be able to, trust me. At 8:30, they had great fun rattling off these phrases. So, here goes, first one. Neither do people light a lamp and... Put it under a bowl. Yes, some of you have got the older translation. We had some bushels in there. But it's fine. It's the right verse. Absolutely. You know it. Next one. The eye is the... Yeah, lamp of the body. Very good. Now for some animal-related things. Hopefully. You strain out a gnat, but... Very good. But swallow a camel. Good. You snakes, you brood of vipers. Yes, sorry for anyone who doesn't like snakes, sorry about that. But it is just contained on the screen, it's fine. And last but not least, perhaps the most famous of all of his animal ones. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for... Yeah, the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, what's my point? Well, the point has been proven by your responses. Visual teaching is easy to remember. We can remember it, yet I wonder how well we'd remember other lumps of scripture, but they're memorable. Jesus, of course, taught in an oral culture. What's changed? He wanted things which were memorable, which were easy to remember. Jesus uses a classic teaching method. It's called Shiraz. No, not red French wine. It's called, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, Shiraz. In Hebrew, it literally means stringing beads, or what we might call pearls of wisdom, or maybe in our culture today, a string of sound bites, if you want to call it that. And then in this chapter of Luke, Jesus is stringing together many, many beads, and the sound bites mount up quickly. But the overarching theme is very much the same. Our teaching this term has been based in and around a book written by a Methodist preacher called Elizabeth Rundle, and she says this about this chapter. If we're not sure of what is right, how can we help another? If we cannot see how to live together in this world, both internationally and individually, we're heading for disaster. This book was written years and years and years ago. How true those words echo today. How poignant on Remembrance Sunday. More on that shortly. It's after these sound bites we get the question, can the blind lead the blind? We know the answer is an emphatic no. But there is a truth in here, which again is worth holding on to. If anyone is blind to Jesus' teaching, it is a blindness not of disadvantage, but of choice. If we are blind to Jesus' message, we are choosing to be blind because he made it pretty clear. So today the challenge for us is to choose not to be blind to the teaching of Jesus, but to choose to have eyes opened. This was a central part of Jesus' ministry. This picture of being blind or having sight flows all the way through everything Jesus ever did. Two chapters earlier, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is reading from the scroll of Isaiah in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. What does he say about his ministry? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Yeah. Jesus has come to fulfill this prophecy. He's come to set the people free, to give them back their spiritual sight. It's a challenge, not just for those who were gathered there 2,000 years ago, but to us. Can we recognize sometimes where we lack humility, where we lack spiritual vision? You can very quickly read a passage like this and think, oh yeah, he's having a dig at the Pharisees or the teachers of the law. And make no mistake, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, their teachings led people away from what God wanted. Yes, they were blind, and the people that who followed the Pharisees and teachers of the law were blind. But we can fall into that trap. How can we lead other people to know the truth in Jesus Christ if we ourselves can't truly see? As the old saying puts it, there's none so blind as those who will not see. Or up in Yorkshire, there's nowt so blind as those who will not see. I remember my father-in-law saying that. In Jesus' ministry, he gave sight to both the physically blind as well as the spiritually blind. And those healings recorded in the gospel actually have much to say to us about spiritual blindness. Let me give you a famous example, which is so often, I think, misinterpreted. In Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, a blind man is brought to Jesus in Bethsaida. The man's friends beg Jesus to touch him. That is to restore him to become an independent member of the community. Jesus leads the man by the hand, and in a two-step process, the man's eyes are opened. His sight is restored. He sees everything clearly. But what do you think's going on in the two-step process? How do you interpret it? Did Jesus need a second bite at the cherry? Bible commentator John Harris says how we often read this passage and we think that Jesus failed to totally heal the man the first time, so needed a second go at it. He disagrees fundamentally with that, as do a number of commentators. Let me explain. They argue that the two-step healing actually reflects the symbolism of what Jesus was teaching at the time. You see, the healing at Bethsaida is preceded by Jesus asking the disciples twice a rather critical question. In verse 17, Jesus says to the disciples, "Do you still not see or understand?" And then in verse 21, "Do you still not understand?" In the two-step healing, The formerly blind man sees people first walking around like trees. He sees in part. Then he sees clearly. Many of those who have dug into this and look at all that is going on actually suggest that what Jesus was doing physically was drawing the attention of the people around him to say, you're like the person who just sees trees. You don't see people clearly. Because after all, could not Jesus have healed the blind man like that? Did he need two bites at the cherry? I don't think so. The message would appear to be that those who see only partially need a further healing, a leap of heart and mind before they could see Jesus clearly, before they could fully understand. What about you and I? Do we see clearly, really clearly, or just partially? Are we different from the crowd to whom Jesus asked, can the blind lead the blind? Do we have spiritual blind spots? Do we need further healing to clearly see Jesus, to fully understand him as Saviour? Key to this is understanding our own spiritual limitations. Making sure that the one that we follow truly is Jesus Christ and not someone who is spiritually blind. And this is where it gets poignant on Remembrance Sunday. The image that you see before you was taken in 1945 in Dresden in Germany. But frankly, I could have replaced it with an image this morning from the Gaza Strip. I choose not to because I recognize the challenges and sensitivities involved with what we see. But the point that I'm making, I think, applies across the board. Those who have perished and those who suffer today usually do so because disaster comes, because some people follow those who are spiritually blind or spiritually misguided. And it's too easy for us to look and say, oh, they're mad, and we just sort of detach ourselves. History says all sorts of things about Adolf Hitler, but he was a brilliant orator. He had the gift of making incredible speeches. Oh yes, there were speeches which manipulated and twisted the mind. There were speeches that were hate-filled. But there were speeches which captured the enthusiasm and imagination of so many. Otherwise, what subsequently happened would not. Don't just brush it aside. What about now? There's an image of Mariupol and Putin. Putin speaks lies about the Ukraine to justify his evil war in that nation. And countless people follow, believing his words to be true. And you know what's most upsetting for me? It's just like in the 1930s under the Nazis. Today, in 2023, in Russia, sadly, religious leaders place their faith in this tyrant rather than in the Saviour Jesus Christ. The leader of the Russian Orthodox Church stands absolutely toe-to-toe with what Putin is doing. That is spiritually blind leadership. And if I may be so bold and provocative, this doesn't just happen in foreign countries. If you have been listening into the COVID inquiry, let me just say that what that reveals is spiritual blindness in terms of leadership at the heart of number 10. If you can stand in front of a lectern and you can tell people to wash their hands every time they are to meet others, and yet you never, apparently, according to one official, ever do that at any point during lockdown, is that not the blind trying to lead? Can the blind lead the blind? No, no, no. On this day of all days, the fallacy of following a leader or ideology blindly is surely shown up. The catalogue of human history is littered with appalling leadership. So if we can admit that our spiritual vision is not always what it should be, how can we go about letting Jesus heal our spiritual blindness? How can we go from being Christians that see trees walking around to seeing people clearly? Well, in our world of so much noise, so many people and causes clamoring to be seen and heard, we need to take some time to look and to listen. Time to disentangle ourselves from a world where we are at the center. I think it's one of the failings of modern life that we think about the world as centered around us. No, it is not. No, it is not. Who's at the center of your world? If it's you, if it's me for me, I've got it wrong. At the center should be Christ. We need to listen to God. We need to open our eyes to what Jesus did and taught. And more than that, we need to listen to the needs of others instead of deafening them with our own solutions. We live in a world where it's too easy to talk at people, to say what should be done. Jesus listened. He listened. There are times when he spent almost an embarrassing time listening. The woman caught in adultery is brought out, and all this clamoring goes on. She's broken this stoner. What do you say, Jesus? He's down on the floor. What's he doing as he rubs his finger in the dust? Is he not listening to his Father? Is he not taking time to gather himself? If Jesus Christ needed to take himself up at a mountain, needed to gather himself in situations like this, how much more us? We need to create space and silence for prayer, for our personal confession, for the things that get in the way, and for listening. And then, and often only then, can we experience the healing touch of Jesus Christ. How can you or I interfere in someone else's life, removing the speck of sawdust, as Jesus put it, when our own spiritual wisdom is obscured by the plank of our own blindness? That phrase is an absolute critical one in this reading. How can we remove a speck of sawdust if there's a great big plank in our own? You and I can only lead others with integrity when we truly know who we are and whose we are. We are Jesus' disciples. So how to move forward in faith? It's actually really simple. And the answer comes in some lovely words that John wrote in his first letter. He says quite simply, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's about keeping short accounts with God. When I take a big long look at myself and recognize my sin and the prejudice which sometimes creeps out, which I feel embarrassed by, or my ignorance, or my lack of understanding, there's a danger that I could be overwhelmed and think, who on earth am I to stand here and speak to anyone? But actually what I need to do is I need to go back to my Father and say, sorry, heal me. Please come and heal me. Take from me the things which stain who I am, which mar who I am. God waits for us to confess that we have fallen short of his standard, his glory, so we can receive his forgiveness. And every time we do this, it is a fresh start. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we can be used powerfully in God's service, right where we are, because it's only at that point that we truly see. I want to close with this verse from Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you, that is the Lord, is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. That's where we find light and hope. My friends, Remembrance Sunday is often a day where people can be despairing, and this year of all years, there is war in Europe, there is war in the Holy Land, and there's plenty of other wars too that the press never flags up. Plenty of conflicts. So easy to feel despairing. But where do you look? Where do I look? Look at the news. Look at our politicians. Look at political leaders. You will, I'm afraid, go on despairing. but look to Jesus Christ while there's hope, there's light. And we need to pray for leaders who will look to Christ and find light in what they do. Shall we pray? Jesus, Lord of our lives and Lord of our paths through this life, reveal yourself to us that we may truly see you as you are and see ourselves as you want us to be. Help each and every one of us to be light bringers to all who live in darkness in this world. We ask it in the name of your precious Son, the light of the world. Amen.